You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker, Ken Gay West, and the Swami, Christian Sub Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
What's up? Welcome to the show, everybody. It's great of you to join us. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kev Gay West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Give it up! Unusual suspects. That's right. They are highly unusual. What's going on, guys?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys.
It's Vince McMahon Day, guys. It's Vince McMahon Day. I promised last week that it was going to be Vince McMahon Day, and here we are. What else can we do? It's his birthday, Vince McMahon. Christian already all fucked up about it. Tell us how you really are. Tell us.
I'm doing good, bro, but what the fuck? Why are we celebrating this fucking tyrant's fucking birthday? That's a fucking tyrant.
I'm a million years old. Year 1,000,000, 2021.
That's right. Vince McMahon Day. I mean, shit. It's his birthday. I mean, what a way to fucking open up the show than to acknowledge. I want you to acknowledge him, Christian.
No.
I want you to acknowledge that Vince McMahon, you the used truth. To mark out to the shit that he did when you were a kid. Come on. Acknowledge.
No, I didn't. No, I never found him exciting. I never found him intriguing.
Albert, what are your thoughts on Vince McMahon? Should we even be having this Vince McMahon Day? Albert, who is in the midst of a party, I think. Perhaps
he's at an actual birthday party. Is he at Vince's birthday party right now?
He might be at Vince's birthday
party. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Okay, I had it on mute, and I had to do my lock screen there because we're running around to the back room to get a little quiet. But, yes, it's a little birthday party for my cousin. He's 25 today, so we're over here having some drinks and wine. But, yes, he does share a birthday with Vince McMahon, and that's very interesting. But my thoughts on this. Hey, you know what? The guy did a lot for wrestling. And I hate to say it, if it wasn't for him, actually, you know what? No, I think that even if Vince McMahon didn't come around, wrestling would be a worldwide thing. I think NWA would have taken off a little bit more, and WCW might have been, the number one company, probably still owned by Ted Turner or Turner Networks to this day. We wouldn't have AEW. So,
imagine Bischoff where he'd be right now.
I guess it's like an interesting thing to, I guess, like an alternate universe. If Vince McMahon never bought the company off of his dad, we might be living in a different wrestling world right now. But I think it's a pretty decent world we're living in right now.
Yeah.
Kanye, Vince McMahon, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, your thoughts?
Yeah, happy birthday, yeah. I mean, yeah, wrestling is crazy because of Vince McMahon. He's the craziest dude in pro wrestling. And I don't know. It's crazy that he's so old and so jacked. And I really want to see that movie about his life. There's supposed to be a movie coming out in the next so many years about his life. So that's going to be lit.
personally, I think that Vince McMahon, you know, he's given a lot to the business, but I think it's time that he maybe, you know, look at his look at himself and what the some of the decisions he's doing lately. I don't know. They're not, to me, they're not beneficial to the product. And I mean, sometimes I have to wonder if he realizes this, that he's just going along with it for the money, because, you know, the almighty dollar, it means everything to some people. I mean, shit, guys, some of the decisions he's made lately, letting go of some of the top talent, and then we're getting news reports, like, shit, just today I saw a news report, SummerSlam was reportedly the highest grossing in history. They're not hurting for money. They're not hurting for fucking money. They made a shitload of money.
They set all kinds of records. Either that was embellished, or that's coming off of the buzz that was created by AEW. Because you know what, dude? Like, there's so many lapsed fans that came back for AEW on Friday night. I've seen posts all over the place. The fans, like, hey, I haven't watched wrestling since I was a teenager. Or, hey, I haven't watched wrestling since 1999 or whatever. And there was a couple of posts that were posted CM Punk thing as this, oh, thanks for bringing me back. If I can pull them up, I'll read them to you guys. But I think a lot of those lapsed fans saw what happened on Friday and probably, you know, decided to order SummerSlam to you know, see what WWE was doing. I think it's all organically – they're all organically working together whether they like it or not. And then I think that – the SummerSlam numbers have everything to do with CM Punk's return and everything to do with what AEW is doing, because a lot of fans are like, we're still buzzing off Friday night and they just wanted to see something on Saturday night.
And all those people were fucking let down.
The Hangover. It was a sellout crowd, they're saying. They're calling it.
No, it wasn't.
At 51,326, they're calling it a sellout crowd.
That's a lie. They lied. They lied. They only sold out 40.
How many people does the stadium hold? I would imagine that for a football game, it's going to hold more than that. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I can't imagine them making a fucking stadium, guys, that only holds 50,000 people.
They didn't sold out 50,000
people.
They lied.
Sitting on the floor to see their precious fucking football team that they just got. You know, they're the owners of the Raiders now. I mean, that's a huge thing. Raider Nation is like second only to the Cowboys, who I have no idea how the Cowboys are still in first or how they are in first, you know, the most valuable franchise. But these are facts that I'm spitting out here, guys. So they're second only to the Cowboys. It befuddles me how the hell they fucking made a stadium that only seats 51,000 people to see the fucking Raiders. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but they lied, Minister. They lied. They didn't sell out to 51,000. It was 40-something thousand. They lied. It wasn't sell out.
Yeah, I was gonna say it might have been a little bit embellished, but I don't know. We'll see.
Apparently, merchandise sales posted a 155% increase over 2019. I don't know why they're talking about why they
that's
get back to 2019
too.
And not 2018.
That's a lie, too. How the fuck can they buy merch when the card reader in the fucking stadium was broken? It's a fucking cash-free stadium. How the fuck can they buy merch when the fucking card reader was broken? That's a fucking lie.
I don't know, Christian. Maybe your
it's
information that you got was a lie.
No, they're liars, bro. They're fucking liars.
The stadium's cash free. WWE runs their own POS systems on that, I believe.
I would imagine so. SummerSlam also set a new sponsorship record that grew by 25% versus 2019 and 18% versus 2020. Now, apparently it had more than 4 million views, and Brock Lesnar's return became the WWE's most watched Instagram video, surpassing John Cena's return at Money in the Bank. SummerSlam videos generated more than 1 billion views across WWE social platforms during the week. That's a lot of fucking business. No,
Who gives a fuck?
Goddamn fucking negative about everything. And by the way, you've made the list, buddy. Don't think I didn't hear you the other night fucking calling women bitches. After you fucking told me you weren't going to fucking do it anymore.
That was my review show.
No, you fucking thought about it before you fucking said it, too. It was premeditated. You paused before you fucking said it, and then you fucking said it. And there's no need to fucking do that. What's it going to take for you to fucking stop doing that?
Damn it.
Tell me right now, what's it going to take for you to stop fucking doing that?
Okay. I'll stop.
No, okay, what? The last time we said you did that, we said we were going to fucking suspend you.
Oh, come on, man. I'm sorry, bro. I forgot.
Well, now you're sorry, bro? You forgot? What's it going to take if you don't forget again? That's what I want to know.
Okay, bro, I'm
sorry.
You
tell me.
I swear I won't.
Do I need to talk to your mom? Do I need to talk to Big Mama?
No.
Because I will talk to Big Mama, okay?
Damn.
No. Call her right now.
You did not get her. Nah, I think Christian got it.
All right. This is it, Christian.
Hey, man. Not to take heat away from Christian, but this show got me really pissed off, too. And I'm not as pissed. I've had a couple of beers before the show, so I'm calmed down. But I was thinking about wrestling the whole day, and I was like, I was getting pissed off about how bad WWE is. So I kind of get why he gets so worked up. But, yeah, no, there's definitely things we got to be careful not to say on the show, for sure.
And we're gonna move on from this, but I don't want it to happen again, Christian.
All right, sorry.
I think we already talked about this, and I don't want to have this conversation again, bro. It's uncalled for and it's unnecessary. All right. Now let's fucking move on. So anyway, that's what they had for SummerSlam. At least that's what they claim. Christian says it's all a lie. I don't know how he could prove it or not. But in other news like that, though, CM Punk had some fucking massive, broke fucking records in t-shirt sales from, what is that? Wrestling t-shirt sales company?
Pro wrestling tees.
Yeah, broke the fucking record in orders for t-shirts. I don't know if it's, I doubt it's for that one. It could be for the one I was there. I don't know. Maybe we'll start seeing everybody wearing that shirt
then,
all over the country.
I'll do this right now.
Speaking of pro wrestling tees, right? Remember last year? We restarted the show up. I said that we're going to have every caller call in, and I was going to get entered into a name or get entered into a drawing for a $25 gift card for Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah,
I'll do this tonight. Somebody call in right now, and I'll give them a $25 gift card to Pro Wrestling Tees tonight, and that's on me, Albert Inspected, and Pro Wrestling Planet, and of course TexasSolarNow.com. We will present you the first caller tonight. We'll get a $25 gift card at Pro Wrestling Tees.
There you go. 619-924-0815 is the number to call there. Perhaps Big Mama will call in.
I just saw something about
the Joker.
They partnered with they partnered with somebody and put out a line of shirts recently, and it was something cool, man. I can't think of what it was, but I saw an ad that they were running. Maybe it was probably the CM Punk shirts. I'm tripping.
I heard that the CM Punk return is going to be added to the Guinness World Record for huge pop.
Yes, that as well. So that's huge news. Wrestling is buzzing right now,
yes,
more so than ever. And, I mean, you know, you got to wonder.
The big news. Yeah, CM Punk. It's crazy.
It is.
And Roman Reigns said he's not a draw.
God, man.
Yeah, everybody.
And we're going to get into, I've got some huge different views regarding WWE, and we're going to get those when we get to the WWE report. But let's move on with the birthdays, guys, since we still have a few birthdays left. Ivan Koloff tomorrow.
Who is that again?
Ivan Koloff. He was with the fucking Russian. He was the Russian Bear, actually. And I don't even know that he was Russian. I know,
yeah.
Nikita Koloff, which was his nephew.
I remember Nikita. I don't remember Ivan.
Yeah, I don't think Nikita was a Russian at all. And the jury's still out there on Ivan. But he did play the part very well, if he was or was not. He's still alive, as far as I know. But he could be dead. Who knows? I don't know. Ivan Koloff, nevertheless. Crash Holly, also August 25th.
Rest in peace.
Kylie Rae, August 25th, Grand Metalik, August 24th. Let's see here. The Great Khali, August
27th. Nice.
Sergeant Slaughter, August 27th.
That's a good one.
Jazz, one of the first. Wasn't Jazz Dusty Rhodes' manager?
No. Jazz was in the Attitude Era.
Who was the one that was managing Dusty Rhodes with the polka dot?
You're thinking of Sapphire.
Sapphire, yeah, that's right. Thank you, Albert. Stan Hansen, Kevier West's favorite guy.
He's a favorite of the show.
Yeah, he had a
It's Albert that really likes Stan Hansen.
Stan fucking Hansen. Let's see here.
Oh, I love Stan Hansen. And that's why I hate JBL so much. But aside from JBL being a bully backstage and in on stage, the fact that he's just a Stan Hansen ripoff is makes my heat for JBL just boil, man.
I think Stan Hansen might still be alive, too. I know I've seen a lot of Stan Hansen stuff where he's an older guy, and he's a cool dude.
Stan Hansen. So, yeah, that's the birthday. Albert, one final word on Stan Hansen?
Oh, no, JBL's whole moveset, especially in his later heel run, world championship run on SmackDown, was total fucking Stan Hansen, man. Like, it was like, you still just kind of idolize Stan Hansen. And if JBL wasn't such a piece of shit that I wouldn't hate him so much for it, because, I mean, you have your idols and you have your people that you model yourself after. In any situation, it'd be music or art or wrestling or anything, but just the fact that JBL is a blatant ripoff of Stan Hansen and the fact that he's an asshole just doesn't sit well with me.
It chaps your hide. your hide.
Yeah, chaps my hide just a little bit.
So let's move on with the This Day in Wrestling History, guys. We've got a doozy. There's so much shit that happened. But I guess the most important thing that happened might have been, let's see here.
CM Punk. CM Punk.
Yeah, there's a CM Punk. hell, I thought I had something. It was the very first episode of SmackDown was on this day, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
They're saying.
I was there.
And were you really?
I wasn't there, but I was watching that whole on TV. I was a super fan of SmackDown when I was a kid.
They take the 1999 SmackDown, and it was from the Kemper Arena in Kansas City, Missouri. There was a pilot that was shot 4 months earlier, and it aired 2 days later on UPN. It's considered the debut. The episode that I'm talking about is considered the debut episode. So even though there was a pilot. So that's that. The card featured Mr. Ass defeating Jeff Jarrett. Oh, by the way, check out these fucking ratings, guys. The show got a 5.8 rating. In contrast, Swami, what kind of ratings are they getting right now? Like 1.1?
In contrast, they're still fucking 2 million. They're stuck still. They're stuck in 2 million. They have not up to 3.
With viewers, and I want to say that's like a 1. I want to say it's actually under 1. I want to say it's 0.9 in the rating. In the contrast of people, Christian from Philly is telling us 2 million currently are watching. Back then, guys, 9 fucking million viewers. 9.
Yeah.
And that was
that's crazy.
Because
that's
there was
not 9 million viewers. That's 9 million TV sets that were on. And I think the Nielsen estimates whatever, but yeah, it's I think they estimate it'd be like 2 or 3 per television set. So I'm not exactly sure if they count television sets that were on or how they do that. I know the Nielsen ratings is, you know, pretty much crap right now, but yeah, it's definitely what, like, shit, 4 times, over 4 times more than what the current.
Yeah, but like Charlie, they got a billion views online on social media today too, and like I did see a post where they were comparing, you know, the Brock Lesnar return got like something like 7 million views, and the CM Punk return on Instagram had like 3 million or something at the time. Like, they were smoking AEW in that, in terms of that. So
Fox,
social media is getting them a lot of money, I'm sure, somehow.
Yeah,
I don't know how social media income works, but they're taking advantage of that.
So here's the card. Christian?
You have to understand that the reason why the ratings were up is because WCW was fucking dying at this point. This was in 1999. This was when WCW was slowly on their deathbed.
Wow,
1999.
So Mr. Ass defeated Jeff Jarrett, The Undertaker, and Big Show defeated Kane and X-Pac and the Acolytes to retain the WWF Tag Team Championship.
Well, to be realistic, it was actually realistically, it was Big Show, because at this point, Undertaker suffered a fucking groin tear and he couldn't do fucking physical stuff. So basically, it was fucking Big Show that did all the work.
Big Boss Man defeated Al Snow to win the WWF Hardcore Championship. Road Dogg defeated Chris Jericho by DQ. Shane McMahon defeated Mankind. Torrey defeated Ivory in an evening gown match. And Triple H defeated The Rock to retain the WWF Championship. Now, Shawn Michaels was a special referee and had a direct hand in the finish.
What
Michaels hit sweet chin music on The Rock as he was going for the people's elbow. It would be Michaels' final appearance for the WWF until May of 2000. Wow.
Yeah.
Do we need to talk about this? No. It's basically another fucking, you know. Oh, here's one. Here's one I wanted to talk about, actually. 8 years ago, guys, Arion Andrew, also known as Cameron from the Funkadactyls, you guys might remember, she was arrested and charged with driving under the influence in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, dang. Digging up demons from people.
Now, get this. Here's how times have changed. The news didn't come out until a week later during WWE's annual Australian tour. Now, she had already performed on one of the shows Andrew had, but she was sent home prior to the second, and she was suspended for 15 days on August 29th. Now, in contrast, compared to what's going on right now, Christian from Philly, what do you think? You know, fucking Jimmy Uso, he just fucking kept going. They put a title on him.
Well, here's the sad truth, and here's the sad difference. Cameron was a fucking nobody, and Jimmy Uso's related to fucking Roman. Who do you think they're going to fucking favor more, fucking Cameron, or nobody who couldn't fucking wrestle, or one of the Samoans who's related to Roman Reigns?
That's fucking nepotism at its finest.
But it's the sad truth.
It is. Like, I mean, because look at this shit. You know, it's the same offense. Actually, it should be, you know, actually, fucking Jimmy Uso already has, what, two or three?
Yes,
some crazy
three.
Shit.
He's tied up there with Jeff Hardy.
So, you know, and she was arrested on just her first one, got sent home from Australia, no less. I mean, that's fucked up. That's really fucked up. But that's where we're at. I don't know what would happen right now if Carmella or somebody got, you know, a DWI, but
no.
I digress. It would be interesting to see what would happen to somebody else if they were caught in that situation. You know, if they would give them heavy punishment because they just did nothing to
what
fuck it up.
What if Humberto Carrillo got a DWI? What do you think? He'd be on Impact the next week, man.
Hey, he'd probably be loving it.
He's a nobody anyway. Yeah.
He'd probably be loving it too, man.
Hey, real quick, speaking of this, right? I'm seeing a graphic right now, and I'm sharing it on Pro Wrestling Planet. Of course, you can see that on the Facebook group. But the ratings for last week are in, for all the shows, right? And hold on, let me pull it up real quick because it's actually pretty interesting. Give me 1 second here. Of course, SmackDown out of all the shows was number one, right? And interesting, right? Hold on. Oh, I lost it. Jesus Christ. Anyway, oh, wait, there it is. So SmackDown was number one, right? With
2.2.
Yeah, with 2.10 million views. And Raw with 1.86 million. AEW Rampage, of course, the Friday Night Show with CM Punk, right? 1.3 million. AEW Dynamite was 975,000. NXT takes a big drop for 654,000 viewers. And Impact, of course, is sixth place, which is, you know, not surprising, of course. But they did see a significant rise, of course, because Christian Cage is their champion. 126,000. So it looks like, you know, all this stuff is bringing back TNA a little bit, right? And, of course, you know, AEW and NXT are just below Raw and SmackDown. That's pretty interesting there.
Yeah, I think another interesting fact is SmackDown might have been number one, but guess what? All their fucking key demos were fucking beaten by AEW last week. So there you go. All their fucking key demos were fucking beaten by AEW.
Nice.
So fuck nice. You, tribal bitch. Fuck you, Roman Reigns, for saying
so
Punk is not a draw. Fuck you.
The key demographics, right? The key demographics you're talking about, right? Or what are they now? 18 to 35?
18 to 45 or some shit.
WWE's doing more kids. They're doing more children stuff. And, of course, they're doing more older adults. So my dad.
They even lost to that last week.
Yeah, of course. You guys like kids, and you got like I said, my dad who's 72 years old. He's a diehard WWE fan, and he watches that shit religiously. You know what I mean? Raw and SmackDown. He thinks AEW is too much. You know, especially after the steel cage match, the Pinnacle, and the Chris Jericho's thing, and of course, what threw him over the edge too. This is my dad. He's an old school Mexican man. Of course, the pizza cutter incident with Nick Gage. And I guess we'll talk about this.
Yeah,
you know? Dad last week got it. He's like, I don't like that shit, man. That's too much, man. That's too much. And you know what? He said the same thing about ECW growing up, too, when we were a kid. Because my dad's a diehard wrestling fan as well. But he said the same thing about ECW, too. He said, that's too much when they showed up on TNA. There's kids more to, like, that, I guess the older, and younger, I guess. But their key demos, you know what I mean, are suffering. But whatever. I don't know where I was going with that point there. I had a couple of glasses of wine, but yes.
It's all good. And what kind of wine are you drinking there, by the way?
Franzia, white, crispy something. I don't know what the fuck it's called.
Wow, some fancy shit, huh? Nice. A box of fancy schmancy shit, nice.
Yeah.
That box will be in the garbage tomorrow, empty.
Space bag.
We still have a lot of shit to talk about, including Paul White recalling WWE having him, making him turn down a fucking role in a movie that was an Oscar-winning movie.
Okay.
And I'm reading shit like this about WWE, and it's like, fucking holy crap, man. Is this for real? This is what he's saying.
I think the first time I've been defending them for this because Big Show fucking is awful as that actor. I'm sorry. He's fucking terrible.
So, yeah, he was speaking with Chris Van Vliet about his career. And at one point he revealed that who created the Big Show and the fact that he wasn't high on the name and shit at first. He said it was Vince McMahon that created the Big Show and shit. So he didn't care for the Big Show gimmick for him. I actually liked that gimmick for him. It was better than the Giant. I could not stand him at WWE or WCW when he was this giant guy. It was insulting to me that they were trying to pass him off as, you know, Andre the Giant's son or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah. What did he want
to be? He was also, let's not forget his other horrible, horrible name in between the Giant and the Big Joe, the Big Nasty. You guys remember that one?
Oh, yeah. That was brief. Like, how long did that last? Yeah, it was brief, but maybe it was it just a move? No, it was, he was going by the Big Nasty, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. Apparently, he was offered a potential role in the Academy Award-winning film The Gladiator.
Oh, God.
And he couldn't do it because of WWE, and apparently he didn't get the, you know, you know how something, like right now, but who is it? What's her name? Sasha Banks was just off. I mean, she had to get that shit cleared, you know. So, but they didn't clear him to do the movie. Anybody with thoughts on that or fucking?
Again, he's a fucking terrible actor. Have you not seen his fucking canceled fucking one season, few episodes Netflix show he had? That shit was horrible. He was not funny at all.
Was it a comedy?
It was horrible. It was a comedy. It was like fucking, it was like one of those fucking Nickelodeon shows for kids. It was fucking terrible. He was not, his jokes were so terrible. He was the most unfunny fuck I've ever seen. He's horrible, bro. Is it actually,
he did a show.
Funny?
He did a show on WWE, I mean on USA one time. I want to say it was like Psych or one of those shows, something like that. And they were, he was out there with the actors somewhere like on a patio of a fucking hotel or some shit, you know, out like maybe outside or whatever. And they were sitting on like these bistro tables and like this little small bistro table where it's just got two chairs and shit. And they were talking about the fucking wine. And he had his hand on the table and the table collapsed and shit. You know, I always remember that clip and thought it was funny. And then there's other clips that I thought were funny, but I've never really seen a movie of his, I don't think. I can't recall.
Well, you didn't see Knucklehead?
No.
Yeah, skip Knucklehead.
That's a movie. That motherfucker.
I saw the
movie
trailer for Knucklehead the other day, and it looked so bad, dude. And it was really, I'm not blaming Paul White. I'm blaming Triple H because The Pacifier was really stupid too. So I didn't really watch any WWE movies after The Pacifier.
The fucking,
you know, I really
didn't
watch any of them. I haven't seen, I don't think I've seen a single WWE movie at all. I really don't think I have. It's so weird, right?
See, No Evil was okay. The Kane movie was all right.
Condemned for Stone Cold Steve Austin, the movie Condemned. It was an okay movie. At least it was a fucking action movie. The fucking Big Show's movie, Knucklehead, was him pretending to be a fucking orphan that was never fucking, like, adopted. He stayed like a fucking giant man.
Oh, my God. No. Damn, well, I'm glad I didn't waste my time on that. I mean, I'm very particular about the movies I watch. But,
Big Show always has, like, a place in Hollywood because, one, I mean, he's a decent actor. He's not the best actor. But he's good at playing the clumsy big guy. And there's very few of those around, you know?
He was funny on Saturday Night Live. I remember watching him there. And I remember he provided me with some great
Mad TV, I think. He was on Mad TV as well.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think
that makes sense.
Triple H was there.
Because Sasso was
there.
And he worked with those guys a lot.
Yeah.
Will Sasso was the fake Steve Austin or whatever.
Yeah. Will Sasso was feuding with Bret Hart.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a good time to take a break, guys. We're going to take a fucking break. When we come back, we've got, I wanted to talk about Karrion Kross's costume a little bit. And yes, I did say costume. Okay. So we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
No chance. No chance.
Looking for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys podcast, season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Podcast.
Hello, creatures of the night. This is Christian from Philly, and you're listening to Fatal 4E Radio, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Get with it, bitches.
We'd welcome you to the Lone Star State with big wide open arms. But if you're trapping litter, well, that's cause for some alarm. You gotta keep our environment clean, and that's the honest truth. So don't you mess with Texas, lest you wanna get the boot. Don't mess with Texas. This land is for me and you. From Dallas to the valley, every highway looking dandy. So future generations can enjoy too.
Fatal 4E Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister. I'm sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevier West, and the Swami. And we are catching you up on all the madness in the wacky world of professional wrestling. And this week we had, or last week I should say, we had a lot of fucking madness. Starting out with fucking AEW. And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly with AEW Weekly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's AEW Weekly where I report you the good shit. And I'm not going to beat around the bush. I know you all want to know what happened at Rampage. Well, I'll tell you what happened at Rampage. The best in the world. CM Punk came out in a thunderous cheers. The hometown hero, the Second City Saint, is officially all elite. He had the biggest pop of the night. Bigger than fucking Brock Lesnar. Bigger than fucking Becky Lynch. Bigger than both of them combined. Bigger than fucking the tribal bitch himself, Roman Reigns. Who is an asshole in real life because this motherfucker's been saying a lot of shit recently that's been starting to piss me off. And I honestly believe, he actually believes he's the Tribal Chief for real. This motherfucker said that CM Punk is not a draw. He wasn't a draw as John Cena or The Rock. And yeah, that might be true that he's not as a draw as Cena or The Rock. He's more of a draw than you, fucking motherfucker. He's more of a draw than you. Because guess what?
Oh my God.
Your show is stuck in fucking 2 million, while theirs beat your fucking key demo on your show, bitch. Fuck you, CM Punk's not a fucking draw. If he's not a fucking draw, how come the fucking website for the AEW merchandise fucking crashed for buying his T-shirt?
Yeah.
How come the Pro Wrestling Tees fucking website crashed for buying his merch? Don't fucking say CM Punk's not a fucking draw, motherfucker. He's more of a fucking draw than you. I don't remember fucking the WWE shop websites fucking crashing when they buy your fucking merch.
Yeah.
I bet you they fucking barely buy your fucking merch, motherfucker. because you never got fucking over. So yeah, CM Punk, the best in the world is here. He cut a great promo. He was crying. It was emotional. Fans were crying. They missed this son of a bitch for 7 years. And it's going to be Darby Allin versus CM Punk at All Out in Chicago. It's going to be fucking great. Fuck you, Roman Reigns. You're not a fucking draw. You're
man, I'm looking forward to this match with Darby Allin and CM Punk. I mean, the whole thing is curious to me. I thought he was going to go after somebody else, somebody high, maybe higher up on the card. But then again, I don't know how high Darby Allin is on the card. But, you know, I really did. I thought he was going to go after Moxley or somebody else, you know. But, fuck, I'm content with this shit. And Darby Allin looked pretty cool standing up there in the rafters with fucking Big Daddy Sting fucking flanking him by the side there. That's what I thought about it, Christian.
What about you, Kevin?
I think it's awesome, like, that image of Sting, like, standing there with the guy is super cool.
Right?
And I just sound like a mark, like, but this thing makes me mark out. Like, Darby Allin is pretty badass. If I was, like, and I look at it, like, if I was, like, a 12-year-old wrestling fan again, I'd be a total mark for Darby Allin and Sting. So it's pretty cool. If there's anybody that I think would be cool to see go together and CM Punk and Darby. I think it could be pretty sick to open with. And it's not like something cheesy either. It's like, cool, let's start putting them with new talent. That's what he said. It's dope. I like this whole promo too. But yeah, Darby and Sting look cool together. And Sting's just a straight badass. I don't know.
There was
just something cool to have him there, not saying anything, just being quiet.
There was something that came out, and I wanted to address this to Swami, if you will. Fucking
yeah.
Booker T came out with some fucking shit talking about CM Punk. He said CM Punk is back, man, and I got a chance to witness the return of CM Punk. I really did. I don't know.
Yeah.
You guys out there are big AEW fans. You guys agree to disagree with me, but me, I'm always telling it like it is. Y'all know that. And I'm going to tell it like it is, this one right here as well. I want all of the listeners, I need you guys to challenge me on this one. I'm begging you to challenge me on what I'm talking about. CM Punk came back and he had 10 full television minutes to go out there and make his point as far as CM Punk being back. He had the perfect crowd to be able to go out there and really, I'm talking about have a party up in the United Center. But CM Punk came back and took his moment and chose to talk about WWE. That right there was just a total miss as far as I'm concerned. As far as
go
I'm concerned,
yourself,
he struck out. I can
go
only imagine
yourself,
if The Rock had done the same in Florida. I can only imagine, he says, I can only imagine if The Rock had done that same 21,000 in Miami, Florida. The Rock would have talked about every landmark and excitement, but CM Punk chose to talk about the WWE and the 9 minutes went back so slow. The 9 minutes went by so slow when it could have been a party going on in the United Center. That's what fucking he said.
No,
yeah, so like from an old school point of view, he's totally right too. Like what he's saying is like how Steve Austin used to come in there and keep the people fucking amped up 100% until he left. Like that's what would have been cool of Punk to do, but like Punk's never been that kind of guy either. His promos, he calms everybody down and like is one of the guys who's able to like talk to the crowd calmly or whatever and not be totally boring. So that's where I disagree with. Like Booker T kind of sounds like a boomer right here, but I do appreciate his opinion because it would have been cool to like have the crowd be hyped the whole time. And I don't think that he only talked about WWE. He made one little thing and what he said, he made one little remark and what he said like was pretty cool. Like I think that it was a pretty good jab where he said that he quit pro wrestling whenever he left Ring of Honor and he was back to pro wrestling. So yeah, WWE is not pro wrestling. And then people were talking about, you wrestled The Undertaker and shit. You know, like they were like throwing CM Punk under the bus for saying that. But it's just a cool line. Like, they said worse shit about him in WCW. Like, if that's the worst thing he said, then he's not hurting anybody.
I thought he had a good promo.
Here's the thing. It's not even a jab. I don't even think that was a jab at WWE at all, because Vince McMahon has come out and said before, too. That was his whole stick in the late 80s, early 90s. Oh, this ain't pro wrestling, man. This is sports entertainment. So, I mean, if anything, he's just telling the truth about how they view themselves and how they're going to view themselves going forward. Now,
I actually thought he held back.
As far as what Booker T goes, man, I can't believe Booker T. I just can't believe the way Booker T sticks up for WWE the way he does. And
he's
after, especially after the whole Triple H storyline and how they've treated him and how they've you know, stuck him in shitty storylines and all this stuff and just what they did to him after WCW. Now, they didn't treat him as bad as, like, say, like, Jindrak or O'Hare, you know, those guys, or even Chronic, you know what I mean? But it just wasn't – they didn't treat him like their other top guys.
What they did to Booker was worse. They built him up, and then they built him up in that story and crushed his dreams with Trips or whatever. It's like he just got buried real hard.
And even then, like, I mean, like, after, you know, after he left and had to go to TNA because of, you know, God knows what, the fact that he's still here defending them, it really boggles my mind, dude. And like, if you watch, like, Reality of Wrestling, Booker T's company out of Houston, you know what I mean? Like, I even talked to the main production guy, too. I had we had a seminar with him a few months back, you know, about,
Kevin.
Like, you know, producing wrestling shows and all that stuff, too. Yeah, what's his name? They produce everything very much like WWE. Yes, they produce everything, pretty much everything like WWE does, dude. And if you go back and watch Reality of Wrestling, it all looks like WWE. I mean, the camera angles, just the entrance way, everything looks like a lower end like NXT type show. You know what I mean? So I get it. Like, are they funded by WWE?
I think it's the campground. I don't know if he's funded by him, but, I mean, he works for him. He's got a Legends contract with him. But he's also self-made in a lot of ways, too. And I think that ROW pays for itself maybe in every way, because it's a school and stuff, too. They're the highest tuition school, but they're the best
they're
school.
Self-sustained.
And
a lot of their talent
wrestles in Loco and like other places. You'll see everybody's wrestled there a little bit. So it's awesome.
Fuck.
He's about to open that other location in Dayton too.
Fuck Booker T. He's a fucking corporate kiss ass.
Easy.
He's a fucking corporate hero, dude. Your hometown hero is a sellout because he defends every crap that WWE does. And speaking about CM Punk and Undertaker matches, fucking Undertaker fucking buried CM Punk in those fucking matches. Remember that fucking Hell in a Cell match they had with the world title? Made fucking CM Punk look like a fucking chump.
Man,
fuck
dude.
Out of here.
And then also, man, you know, I mean, you know, Punk fucking, you know, left. He was pissed off and shit. But fuck, man, in hindsight, I mean, you know, you got to also think about, and, you know, every fucking pay-per-view, he was not the headliner. You know, he was the champion for all those many fucking days, 400 days, whatever the fuck it was, and he never headlined a fucking pay-per-view. I could
well,
see
you
where
know
the
why.
Frustration was fucking mounting and shit.
Well, you know why. Yeah.
I think that'd be a cool way to go with Punk, is like, because they're about to pass, like, Roman's coming up on Punk's, I think if Roman holds it for 3 more months, then he breaks Roman's record. And so, man, they should book Punk to take the belt from Kenny and then have him beat the fucking record again.
No, actually, Brock Lesnar already broke it.
Did he?
Yeah, he broke it already.
Yeah.
But,
so, yeah, I just thought he went on to say a lot more, but it was basically the same thing. He just, you know, said, you know, from a different perspective and shit. But it's the same shit is what he was saying. He was saying that he didn't like the fucking promo and shit. And
do you think that he buried WWE in the promo?
I thought it was a very classy promo.
The pipe bomb?
Not at all. I thought he kept it classy. He didn't mention them by name and shit. He said what he had to say, but he did it in a classy way. He was fucking concise. He was well aware of what the fuck he was saying. even though it was probably unscripted, he fucking made it
he
all
had a
make
cool
sense.
Line at the beginning. The line at the
and,
beginning was the coolest. He
and
said,
that line that
yeah.
he did say that, you
he
know.
Said, I don't know. He said, I don't know how, I didn't know what I was going to say because I didn't feel like I knew what I was going to say because I knew I had to feel it or something like that. And then he started talking, and I was like, that's pretty dope. Because
yeah.
that's what punk did. He was like Wild West. He made them old John Wayne lines all the time. He always said some kind of dumb, but he makes it cool, right?
He always had the best fucking promos,
he's the
in my
antithesis
opinion.
Of what I liked about a wrestler. Like, I really don't like greasy little wormy dudes, kind of like punk or whatever, but the guy's just cool as shit. And so, as a wrestler, we all know he got his ass beat in UFC, but, you know, he'll be booked well, and I think it's going to be a cool rest of the year. For
about a month ago, or when was it? Remember? We spoke about it here when I watched the CM Punk that deal on WWE Network about him and how he was in ROH and how he left ROH. He felt like it was the time he had to leave ROH. I mean, fuck, man. It all makes sense what he said the other night on that promo. It all rings true. The same thing with WWE. I mean, what the fuck? There he was, the main guy, and they never even put him in the main spotlight because it was all about fucking John Cena. You know,
yeah.
And that's the thing with fucking WWE. And Christian, I'm gonna cut into your fucking AEW report to talk about this because if I don't do it now, I'm going to fucking forget about it. So forgive me. But
no,
check it out.
Fine.
Here's the deal. They're fucking doing this whole shit with NXT right now that they're doing. It's the same fucking shit. They're going to start creating their own stars from there. NXT is no longer going to use indie talent. They're no longer going to bring in indie talent. They're going to start just fucking having these fucking contests or tryouts or whatever and picking people from the tryouts and start molding their people again.
Where are they going to get them from? I mean, honestly, think about that. That's not a very logical fucking thing to do. I mean, yeah, I understand WWE wants to mold their own stars from scratch, but, I mean, that's not a logical thing to think of. I mean, think about it. I mean, they've never had straight-up talent built from – they have here and there a few
it's
stars
terrible
that got
fucking
over,
idea.
Like Randy
and
Orton,
I don't know who's
Randy
fucking
Orton, of course, or – yeah.
I don't know
there's
who's
probably
you're the man
right
here
now, there's probably
doing this.
There's probably more people that have gone through Booker's school on AEW than have gone to NXT. If you were asking earlier if it's funded by WWE and stuff, I mean, definitely they've brought in WWE talent to Booker's place. But a lot of those guys have gone on to be on AEW instead of WWE. So there might be something to what you're saying about, like, AEW is way more willing to work with indie talents now than WWE was a few years ago. And when WWE was, what did they do? They bought all the top guys, and then, you know, and then they had to make new stars, and that's who these people are now.
So I guess that means Tessa Blanchard is out of the question then because she's from the indies, so that means she's out of the fucking question, right?
Who?
Yeah, I don't think we'll see Tessa on WWE. We talked about that a few weeks ago.
I don't think so.
But
yeah.
She'll be back on Impact. Impact will work with her.
It's going to kill the product, I think, because like when these indie guys come in or indie women come in, it just they have a buzz that comes with them as well. So even if it brings like an extra, like, I don't know, like a 1,000 eyes to the product or even 500 eyes.
It's going to kill their product. It's going to kill WWE. Now, I don't have any intention on fucking watching them make
like
their
that.
Fucking phony-ass fucking stars and shit. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to switch the channel.
Well,
they were literally signing people. No lie, they were literally signing people in tryouts during SummerSlam in Las Vegas. Random people.
So people just went and
like
tried out, and,
try
and now they're going to have fucking, like, Tough Enoughs and shit like that, I guess.
And to insult to injury, Triple H was there shaking every one of those people's hands.
I know, man. And apparently he's still in charge of NXT, and he's on board with all this.
Not really, no. He's demoted, not really.
He's on board with this idea and shit, and it's like it's so
it doesn't really matter. Yeah, here's the deal. It doesn't really matter where they get their talent from, but you know, if they're going to sign a bunch of, like, people who don't really give a shit about wrestling, then that's a problem right there. They're just signing people who just want to make money and who are athletic. That's different. Now, if you're signing somebody who's like, oh, like, I'm a lifelong fan, you know, it's just like starting out in WWE, NXT, developmental, whatever they want to call it, their program over there, the Performance Center, it's no different to me than starting out in, like, you know, reality of wrestling or starting out at Loco or whatever if you have the passion for it. So if you have the passion for it, that's going to shine through no matter what you do. You know what I mean? But if you just find some jackass, like, who broke his knee out of college and his football scholarship's, like, null and void, you know what I mean? Or somebody who got dropped by an NFL team, you're going to get a bunch of fucking you're going to get a bunch of fucking meatheads that don't connect with the audience.
To kind of extend on that, and, like, with CM Punk was the topic, you know, it's like, that's the reason everybody loves these indie guys so much. That's what draws, like, these wrestling fans in, is because it's these people that had childhood dreams, the boyhood dreams, started with, like, Shawn Michaels and stuff, probably. But it's like this dream of, like, becoming a pro wrestler, and they get to go do it, blah, blah, blah. That's, like, a big draw of it. So if it's just, like, why am I going to root for some ex-football player, like you said, whenever I really want to root for, like, somebody like Daniel Bryan or somebody like that, like, loved it and went and learned from the best and wrestled all over the world and honed their craft, et cetera, you know?
And another thing, NXT is going to be fucking pre-taped every week, and you know who's pissed about that? The fucking USA Network. They don't fucking like that. They didn't agree on that. That wasn't part of the contract. So, yeah.
Really?
They're fucking over the USA Network now with this shit.
When you say they're pissed, like, how do you know they're pissed?
They're pissed because they didn't agree to this. They wanted live shows. They don't want fucking pre-tapes. Because with pre-tapes,
was there something like a conference call or something where they were like, this is bullshit?
Yeah, a conference call, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Because when pre-tapes happen, it's going to spoil the fucking shows. Let's say, like, there's an NXT title match right next week, right? Because of pre-tapes, fucking spoilers will happen, and you'll know who fucking won or retained the title, and fucking USA Network will be fucking angry because they don't want that shit.
Yeah, I can see that happening. To swing this back over into the AEW thing, I wanted to ask you, Christian, this shit that they have on fucking Friday night, how come it's just 1 hour, and what the fuck do they do? Are they taping shows with
no,
the rest of
live.
The time? Because you can't sell a fucking... Yeah, I understand that, but, I mean, you can't sell fucking tickets to a one-hour fucking wrestling event.
Are they filming other shit? The reason why it's 1 hour is because those people stay for the two-hour version of AEW Dark. So it's 1 hour for television, but in reality it's actually 3 hours over there.
There's a bunch of dark matches, and then all that stuff goes on YouTube.
Okay,
for that series that they have and shit, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, because I heard Punk talk, I read Punk talking about it, and he said that he thought he was probably more than likely going to be used strictly on TV. And, I mean, obviously the Fabius, I mean, come on.
So their YouTube show is super good. Their YouTube show is dope. They have a lot of wrestling on TV,
They have 11 matches.
It's cool.
So, can we continue with the AEW weekly?
Yeah, I just have one thing to say. So, the Trials of Jericho, all the led up to this moment, Chris Jericho versus MJF, it was a good match, with the stipulation being Chris Jericho can't use the Judas music or the Judas effect. And Chris Jericho lost. He put over MJF, which was shocking, because I thought Jericho was going to win, but, you know, MJF won. But it kind of made Jericho look stupid towards the end, right? Did Jericho forget to do the fucking cold breaker? Because the Walls of Jericho isn't the only finisher he could do. Like, did he forget to do the fucking cold breaker? Apparently he did, because he didn't do the cold breaker, one of his other finishing moves that could put over people. So kind of made Jericho look like an idiot, in my opinion.
Man, that's a damn good point. I hadn't thought of that.
Did they point that out? Was that, like, part of the story of that match?
Yeah, he can't hit the Judas Effect, but he can hit other finishers. He hit the Lion Tamer. He hit the Walls of Jericho. He even hit the Lion Salt. But not once in the match did he ever hit the fucking Cold Breaker. That is, like, one of his other finishing moves. Kind of makes Jericho look like an idiot.
Right.
He hit the Lion Tamer?
Yeah, he hit the Lion Tamer. He hit the Walls of Jericho. And the Lion Hold, the other version of the Walls of Jericho, where, you know,
I must have missed the fucking Lion Tamer. I was watching it, waiting for him to do it. And I probably got up or some shit in that moment. Fuck.
And then he did the Lion Salt, but for some reason, he forgot to do the Cold Breaker, one of his other finishing moves that put people away. He accidentally tried to do the Judas Effect, then he stopped, looked like an idiot standing there, and then got hit by MJF's finishing move like an idiot. So that was kind of dumb.
Fine.
So
what can you say?
MJF
is awesome. Jericho's the GOAT. Jericho's one of the best wrestlers of all time. One of my top favorites. Definitely in my top three.
For sure.
MJF is sick just because he's like the new guy. Like I was just saying, like he's one of these guys who's loved wrestling his whole life, and it shows. He's like not your typical kind of character, but he's doing a typical kind of gimmick, but he's doing it better than people in the past have done it. So it's pretty badass. Cool story for both of those guys.
Albert, how's the party going on over there? Albert? Party? Is there a party going on over there, Albert?
No, no, it's all done now. It's all done now.
Boo.
Everybody had to go to bed, I guess. I'm the only asshole late now.
You gonna finish that bottle of wine though? Or that
yeah, I'm have a couple of glasses more, but I'm actually kind of craving an ice cold RC Cola. You know, you can't get better than RC Cola at this point, so we'll see.
Yeah. I actually saw an RC today, and I passed it up for a Diet Dr. Pepper. I was shopping at Food Town, and I saw the RC.
My buddies were all drinking Diet Dr. Pepper and whiskey the other night, and I was like, "We are old. This is how I know that you guys are old." And
Diet Dr. Pepper, man, that's some good shit. Dude. You ever have Diet Dr. Pepper from Whataburger? It's crazy sweet.
It's crazy sweet.
I prefer.
I've been drinking while we're on drinks, real quick. I'm drinking Bang Hard Seltzer, so Bang Energy Drink collabed with this company called Mix, and they made hard seltzers that taste like Bang Energy, and they're the sweetest thing I've ever drank in my life. They're not that good. I can't recommend them.
I'm drinking the Modelo Cheladas. I had to go to the convenience store to get them today and pay full price because apparently I bought them all out from fucking Fiesta and Food Town and all the grocery stores around me. And I'm serious when I say this. I bought them all out. And I don't guess they're putting any more out. I mean, fuck, it's been shit at least a week. So today I had to pay a premium price for these motherfuckers. Normally I get them for $2.60 or something like that. Today I had to pay $3.33 apiece.
Well, Chuck, you know, in the beer world, like there's rumblings. It's official, but Yingling is on its way, dude. Yingling is supposed to be like the best beer.
Dude, I had some all weekend. I had some this weekend
You drank it?
Yeah, I did. It was great. I loved it. It was here. The first glass was free. I went to the bar and said, what do you got? What do you got on tap? And she started pushing that to me. And then she said, and by the way, the first glass is free. I was like, serve me up. Boom. It was great. I drank it. I drank it all night. I think I want to say this was Friday night. Yeah, Friday night. I drank that shit. So it was great. Yangling.
I had a chance to try it. It's like the steampunk of beers. It's coming back.
I'll send you a picture of it later. Yingling.
That's
never
pretty
heard
ironic
of that beer,
to say the CM Punk of beers since he's a straight edge guy. My bad, CM Punk.
Oops. Yes. Please accept our apologies. And shit, I still can't believe that shit about Booker T. Holy crap. What the fuck is this guy on? And why is he talking
shit about
CM Punk?
About Booker T.
Yeah,
payroll, he's got to say nice things about WWE.
Right?
He's not the only one.
That's what it is. Boom. Company man.
He's not the only guy who's been pissing people off. fucking Roman Reigns has been pissing people off recently in his comments.
Guys, if you've recently tuned in live, apparently Albert Inspected is giving out a T-shirt of some sorts. And all you have to do is call in. And that number is 619-924-0815. So that's all you got to do is call in, 619-924-0815. And we're going to take our last break. And when we come back, we're going to get down to the fucking meat and potatoes of this. Or what was it that the Christian from Philly said on the show the other night? We're going to get down to the skin and meat, or the meat and bones.
With the SummerSlam predictions and the AEW and the WWE report.
We're going to get down to all that shit right now, and so or here coming up. So we're going to take our final break, and we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4 Radio. From the Friendly Fire Cigar Studio in Houston, Texas, you're listening to Fatal 4 Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, DAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
Dusty Rhodes, baby, the American Dream. There's a lot of people that don't like me. There's a lot of people, Christian, and out there in Philadelphia don't like Dusty Rhodes very much.
They
said his belly is too big, baby. Maybe his hand is too big. But Christian from Philly, I'm coming to Philadelphia, baby. Dusty Rhodes, I'm coming to Philadelphia.
Dusty Rhodes, only on Fatal 4-Way Radio. So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Philly Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news. Network. I am the resident heel minister of sinister, and I'm sitting here with the Unusual Suspects. That's right, the Unusual Suspects.
Yeah.
That, of course, was AOP. AOP. I fucking love that jam, but you know they had to take it from me when they got rid of AOP. And shit, they just have a way of doing that. Elias is now gone, but he's teasing a new character, and it's guaranteed. He's going to come back and suck ass It's just guaranteed to me. That's what I'm saying. But we're going to find out more about that in the...
And now, ladies and gentlemen, yes, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
Welcome to WWE Report, where I report all the garbage that WWE spews. What can I say? This fucking these past few days have been horrendous for me. It's been a joke. Let's quickly start from last week's SmackDown, which is the segment for the final segment on SmackDown, the Go Home Show for SummerSlam, and that was the promo of the face-off with John Cena and Roman Reigns. The same fucking shit. They were positioned the same way. They said the same fucking shit. Roman Reigns is so fucking boring. This fucking character sucks. And Chuck, Mr. Sinister, was listening to the SummerSlam review show, as stated earlier, and I'm not the only one that says Roman Reigns sucks, because my friends, my co-hosts, said Roman Reigns sucked. So guess what? I'm not the only one. This character sucks. I'm sorry. This whole promo sucked because it was the same shit from the other week before. But this time, they gave it away of how the show was going to finish, saying Roman's not going to fucking lose, all right? Because if he loses, he needs to leave the team. So guess what? They spoiled it. They ruined it for me, bro.
Right then and there, I knew Roman Reigns was going to win. There was no more fucking mystery to it. And it just fucking, they could have done so much better, dude, if they would have just left that out. Fuck.
It sucked. That feud fucking sucked. The feud made no sense whatsoever. It fucking ruined Roman's, it fucking devalued the character. It made me even hate the character.
Roman Reigns doing his own lines like he claims he is, he fucked up. He should have not have said that. I mean, come on.
The guy is fucking trash. The guy,
once he put that stipulation, he knew he was going to win. It was fucking terrible. I wanted to fucking have the mystique of fucking John. I mean, I still had a little bit of it, but
he's
God
done,
damn it.
He's,
he
Roman
never
has
said
done
that.
Good stuff, dude. Roman does not suck 100%. It's just that, like, when he's against Cena, he fucking sucks. He's, like, exposed. And Cena isn't all that either, dude. Like, Cena's, like, I kind of don't want, I don't know. Like, I was happy when he came back, but he's not cool. It wasn't cool. I wasn't happy with his behavior, how he carried himself.
This feud sucked. It was pointless. Yeah. It didn't serve nothing. It did not serve anything.
It was just another fucking... Let me tell you what it was, bro. It was just another fucking feeding to Roman. You know, the big shark has to eat. So it was just another fucking feeding. That's all it was, bro. We already know how this shit's going. They're going to feed him somebody else next, and then they're going to turn the fucking roster around here in October, whatever the fuck. They're going to bring in new guys to feed him in November. They'll have the bullshit pay-per-view I hate the most, you know, Survivor Series, and they'll feed somebody else to him there.
Fucking boring. Roman Reigns, this Tribal Chief shit is getting fucking stale. It's getting fucking boring, and I'm not waiting fucking two more years just to see him face The Rock at fucking WrestleMania. For this bullshit, no. If this shit continues, I'm done. Because this is fucking bullshit at this point. This is getting fucking boring now. This is getting stale. The motherfucker is still getting fucking booed. Like, in cool heel situations, right, the cool heels get fucking cheered, right? Like, they chant their names and all that, right? He doesn't even have that. He's not even that fucking cool to get even a little bit of fucking cheers. He gets fucking booed because the guy still sucks.
I would have cheered him if
nobody
I was there.
This guy.
There's some people cheering him, dude. There's got to be people cheering him. I'm not crazy.
Those are the women. Those are the grown women that think he's hot, all right?
I cheer for him because he's cool. He's kind of cool. He's, like, got Batman vibes, right? He used to be, at least.
That's fair to you. That's fair to you. But the rest, the majority, still boo him, all right? This character's stale. So, yeah, we go to Raw. Yeah, we go to Raw. Fucking show.
He did.
Get the fuck. Yeah?
He did have some boos at that, or some fucking cheers at that pay-per-view. When they were saying, the crowd was fucking chanting for Cena, and then they were chanting for Roman. It wasn't the typical let's go Cena, let's go Roman deal. It was something else. I can't remember what it was, but I could clearly hear it. It didn't last long, but I did hear it.
Yeah, well, it didn't last long.
It goes back to what I said last week or a couple weeks ago. Was like, you know, Roman's just, he needs time to develop his character, dude. And that's why everybody hates him so much, is the fact that he just can't talk, that he's kind of one-dimensional, dude. But you know what? You know, like I said, you know, these guys take years and years and years to hone their promo skills. And, you know, and Roman was just literally just thrown out there in the last, like, few weeks or even a few months with unscripted promos. So I think if he gets that locked down and gets his humor locked down and gets his shit-talking locked down, I think within a year or so, you might see fans kind of cheering him on a little bit more. But as of right now, it's like that whole WWE product that they hate. And Roman represents that WWE product, the scripted big man type look.
How
about Vince McMahon? It's just not working.
Well, here's the thing, man. We don't have a fucking year, bros, because WrestleMania is going to be in Texas this year or next year. And we could actually fucking go, but is it going to be worth it?
No. Fuck no. Unless they do a good card, but who knows? Anyway, we go to Raw, right? We get a fucking 2-minute long fucking video package of SummerSlam. Who gives a fuck? That pay-per-view fucking stunk. Nobody wants to remember this fucking pay-per-view. The pay-per-view was horrible. So Bobby Lashley comes out, and immediately we get another fucking video package of SummerSlam of their fucking match. And then fucking they talk. Then fucking Damian Priest comes out, the new U.S. champion, right? Damian Priest comes out, challenges Bobby Lashley. I swear to you, not even like 1 minute, the fucking match gets thrown out. And it's a fucking DQ already, and this is the first fucking match of the start of the show, and it's a fucking tag match with fucking Sheamus and Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest, and it was all for fucking nothing because Bobby Lashley left his partner, and they won just like that. What
I gotta
the
say,
fuck? How can
you... The whole show last night fucking went the same way for me, man. So typically, here lately, the pattern has been, you know, we have a shit pay-per-view, but we had, you know, at least a good show the night afterwards. Man, last night's fucking Raw to me was fucking shit, man. I don't know if it's a fucking reset and they're trying to reset new fucking feuds. Obviously, they are. With some tag team shit or some type of... No, but it's still the same fucking shit. It's still almost an Omos and fucking AJ against fucking the other guy. It's still the same fucking shit.
Awful. It was awful.
Continue.
No, it was awful. Then Doudrop and Eva Marie are finally broken up, but now they're feuding. Another awful feud between Doudrop and Eva Marie. God help us all. Horrible match. Another horrible match. Oh, my God. Then I sent Minister a text message, right? I sent him a photo of Karrion Kross. And why does he look like that last night? Apparently, they got the idea from the old WCW video game character from Nintendo 64. Called the Executioner, and I sent them the picture. Tell me, Minister, or not, does that not look like Karrion Kross from last night?
Yeah. Damn, this is from a game, WCW Nitro, what year?
WCW Nitro, the video game.
The Executioner.
Awful. This guy is already fucking buried coming out to this fucking gimmick with a stupid fucking mask. A no-nothing fucking match. Ricochet gets fucking buried. You would think, right, hardcore NXT fans, you would think, oh man, Ricochet versus Karrion Kross? That's going to fucking tear the house down. Fuck no.
Bro.
It ends in a fucking 1 minute squash match. Unacceptable.
That looks like a bad Halloween costume. A kid's costume, no less. My brother used to have this fucking deal. It was called Photon. And it was like, you know, you wore a little battery pack and shit and a fucking helmet with a fucking shield and you had a gun and you go around tagging people with like some type of gun, had some kind of laser shit and kept fucking points and shit. That's what this shit looks like. Or like the fucking, that Martian character from Warner Brothers.
Marvin the Martian.
There you go. Except it was painted fucking red. Man, I can't fucking believe
he looked like kind of like Lord Humongous from the Mad Max movies, who later inspired Sid Vicious's early character. He kind of had that vibe too. But yes, they also bluntly ripped off WCW versus Nitro, or WCW versus NWO video game, because I had that video game and it's very fun. In fact, I played as the Executioner a few times, and little did I know I'd be seeing him in person 20 years later on TV.
Bro, I want to know, like, was this his idea and his fucking costume design and shit, or what the fuck?
No
way. This is what I want to know.
No way. No way. Nope. Not no way. What the fuck does this have to do with his clock gimmick? What the fuck does this have to do with his clock gimmick?
TikTok.
Nothing.
I know, right? What's up with the TikTok shit? You know, I mean, oh my God, the whole thing is fucking awful. It's fucking letdown from what I expected to see from this guy, guys. I mean, you know, I fucking had heard so much about him and shit. Here I'm fucking, he comes in, gets defeated his first fucking match, which was obviously done as some type of lesson, you know. We gotta tame these guys, we gotta keep them down. Yeah, we gotta tame these guys. We gotta get them used to our system here. Nobody can outshine Roman. Nobody can outshine Bobby Lashley right now because he's the top guy. You know. Go ahead.
Up next, we have what was considered the worst fucking segment on Monday Night Raw by a mile. Fucking Moist TV with fucking Logan Paul, guy nobody fucking likes. Everywhere he goes, he gets shit on. He gets shit on at SummerSlam. He got shat on last night. Why the fuck do they keep bringing this fucking clown back? Nobody fucking likes him. Nobody can stand his ass. He's supposed to be like a celebrity babyface, but everybody fucking booed him out of the building. They wouldn't let the fucker talk. What the fuck? Why do you keep bringing this guy back? Like,
he looked very uncomfortable out there. Yeah, he looked very uncomfortable out there. Did you guys watch this? Anybody else watch this? Or at least a clip of it? I mean, he looked uncomfortable out there.
I saw the part where Miz kicked the shit out of John Morrison, and that was pretty
awesome. Yeah, that was a good part.
I don't know about that.
But that led, you know, this promo led to that. And, man, he looked uncomfortable out there. The fans were fucking booing him and shit. They were fucking jostling him. He was highly uncomfortable out there. You could tell. And he delivered a terrible promo. I'm with Christian. He's terrible.
Then it led to, it was awful. Then it led to Miz versus Xavier Woods, a fucking boring match that nobody gives a fuck about. Fucking Miz loses, and then Miz turns on fucking Morrison. What the fucking do? We didn't see this fucking years ago. Why should I care about it now? It was fucking years ago. Why are we still doing the same shit? And then these idiot fucking casual fans in the fucking crowd are chanting, why, Miz, why? Why, Miz, why? What the fuck you mean, why? You idiot. What's wrong with
you, Miz? Miz can be vicious. He looked dope whenever he was beating him up. And I was like, that's cool. I like the Miz most whenever he's like an evil heel.
I was hoping
that was the worst
thing
I've ever
heard. And I was hoping to see a more vicious Miz, actually, than what we got. I was really hoping to see this shit go along the lines, and this is way too much to ask for, especially nowadays. But this is what I was hoping for. You remember that beatdown where fucking Jericho beat down fucking JBL, and then the next week JBL beat down Jericho, or vice versa? I'm yeah. hoping for that type of shit. But the beatdown fucking really lacked to, you know, for them to do that.
The beatdown was
a terrible beatdown.
It was the worst beatdown I've ever seen. It was the most clusterfuck beatdown I've ever seen. Horrible. I do not give a fuck about this feud because I seen it years ago. And the fact that it's not even on a pay-per-view match, it's next week's Raw. They're not going to even have this match in a pay-per-view. They're having it next week on fucking Raw. So that tells me that this feud is not fucking important, all right? That means this feud is nothing. So, yeah, The Miz and Morrison break up. Then we have Mansoor versus Jinder Mahal. Who gives a fuck? Jinder Mahal beats Mansoor because that feud, you know, Jinder Mahal is back to being a fucking loser. You have this guy come back, and he's back to being a fucking nobody now. Who gives a fuck about Jinder Mahal anymore? Really? Why is he still employed? Like, what the fuck's the point of him now? Like, he's not serious. He's not intimidating anymore. He lost to Drew McIntyre in a fucking pitiful squash match. Like, what's the intimidating factor about this fucking guy anymore? He's useless.
Man,
useless.
I know. It's terrible. I wanted him to win.
I think Mansoor's super lovable. I think I texted y'all that. I was like, this guy is just like an A-plus baby face. There's like nothing he can do to like get heel heat. It's funny. And then like Mustafa is like, it's like such a, I get the story. Like it's cliche as hell. But I don't know. I'm glad the guys are getting TV time. But I think Mustafa like can't get anything over and they want him to so bad. So maybe he's the problem, but I don't know. It's too early to say. Maybe Mansoor will get Mustafa over.
It's kind of weird, right? Like, you know, you would think that there would be, like, WWE would keep a guy like Mustafa Ali down and supposed to try to bring a guy like him up. I don't understand, like, what they see in him. I understand we as fans seeing him. He's a great performer. He's pretty decent on the mic, you know what I mean? He's got some buzz around him. But I don't understand what the brass in WWE sees in him. I mean, as far as, like, how they've picked and choose who to push. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. To me, it's because of his race. To me, they're very specific with bringing people from all over the world and shit. And to me, that's part of the appeal to them. You know, because they want to be as diverse as they possibly can be. And, you know... And if that's what it is, indeed, and then fucking shame on them and fuck them for that, too.
Yeah, I mean, if they are obviously diversifying. They're opening branches all over the world. It's World Wrestling Entertainment. But, I mean, it's no secret that that's what they've done. Now, I don't think that necessarily should, like, overshadow anybody because, I mean, let's be honest. To me, some of my most favorite guys are all foreigners. Like, it's like, I don't know what it is, but it's like they bring in people from other countries and they have way more draw to me or something. They seem more, I don't know, even these guys like Jinder and the guys that he's with right now, like, I'm so happy for these guys. They look great on TV. So, I don't know. It's just... It does.
Hey, I'm a big fan of Sheamus.
It does appear that he's hired for his race, but no, the guy's like a good baby face without that. And it's just like representing his culture on TV or whatever.
So, up next, we have Go Away Heat again. Charlotte Flair cutting a promo how she's great, blah, 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 blah. She's a fucking broken record. She's a fucking broken record. I don't give a fuck about Charlotte Flair. All right, I'm sick of her.
And then right after that, bro, they fucking brought out Nikki Cross, and she fucking tag-teamed with whoever the fuck she tag-teamed with, and it was like nothing. Like, she just completely forgot about the fucking title, that she lost the fucking title, she went on with this fucking tag-team match. It was fucking horrible.
I hate them. I now officially hate Nikki Cross. And I sad to say that I hate Nikki Cross now. I can't stand this fucking character. It's not realistic. It's not fucking believable. You can't be fucking okay losing to your fucking title 2 days ago and say, oh, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. No, You were the world champion.
I didn't like that.
That's
at
what
all.
I said she was going to say, too.
I was so fucked up about it, dudes. If anything, it just pissed me the fuck off and turned me more away from the product than I already have been. I've been rebelling against WWE here lately.
At least you didn't get rock bottom one time and pass out.
Yeah. Next, and then fucking Alexa Bliss comes out. Oh, my God. I don't want this match. This was not hooked. Why? Alexa Bliss should not have the title with this fucking gimmick. This is a horrible idea. I don't care what you say. This feud should not fucking happen. This is a fucking terrible feud. Like, what the fuck is with Charlotte Flair's fucking feuds, man? They've been fucking awful. First is fucking Nikki Cross, and now fucking Alexa Bliss with this fucking gimmick? What the fuck is this? Really?
You really think they would give her the title?
They're teasing it, because that's the next feud for the pay-per-view. Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte.
Yeah, I know that. But fuck, man, I can't see them taking the title off of Charlotte just like that. Although, didn't she just have, like, two wins? She just added two wins to her her deal. I mean, just like that in, a matter of 3 weeks? Or some shit, she added two fucking world title wins to her reigns?
Yeah. Her fucking thing with the record with Ric Flair is the most forced, unoriginal fucking thing ever. The reason why her dad's record is because it's organic, right? People were fucking believing that Ric Flair was the 16th time. This is the most unorganic, unoriginal shit ever, and that's why people fucking can't stand Charlotte.
I hate them.
Then we had Nikki Cross and Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. I thought this team broken up, but apparently they didn't. Or maybe they will. I don't know. I don't care. This match was fucking bullshit. Fucking Nikki Cross and Rhea Ripley are fucking ruined. Rhea Ripley is already fucking ruined. It's like her title reign never fucking happened. It's like she became an afterthought. Oh, wait, she was. She was the third wheel. Rhea Ripley's fucking ruined. I don't give a fuck about any of these women, to be honest. I don't care about any of them.
Just don't
I'm
call
so
them vicious, okay, bro?
Sometimes they look cool and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're kicking ass and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they say cheesy shit and sometimes they sound badass. Rhea is a perfect example of that. She's super 50-50. Like, they brought her in. She's probably won and lost an equal amount of matches. And I don't know. Like, she is just like five spots. Like, the more that I watch Rhea wrestle, she does, like, five spots in each match, and that's it. And while they are cool, like, she fires up. I could hear Stone Cold, like, describing it. He's like, you know, babyface fires up, and then, you know, go and get your heat off. That's, like, what her formula is. That's going to get old, too. And it's already old, I think. So I love Drew at the beginning, and Nikki is a great wrestler just at her core. And they're taking that away from her. They're taking the girl's biggest strength away from her. And then Charlotte is queen bitch, like I called her several times. Like, she's just the baddest ass bitch on the show. Like, literally, I'm going to say that with endearing queen bitch. I mean, like, she's out there kicking everybody's ass. Becky and Charlotte is the only two that, like, should be fighting each other on the show, in my opinion.
And that's their fucking formula. Nobody can outshine who they see as their top fucking stars, as their cream of the crop. Nikki Cross, as talented as she may be, she looks fucking badass when she's fucking flying off the top and shit down on them. I mean, that's killer. It's killer stuff.
Yeah.
But can they put it over? No. Why?
No.
Because the audience loves it a little bit more than they love what Charlotte's doing and shit. You know, so they have to fucking keep her down there. And that's what I can't stand about this shit, and they're fucking doing the same thing with this whole fucking NXT shit, that they're no longer going to bring in indie stars, and they're just going to create their own manufactured fucking talent. And I mean, yeah, it's got its pros, But God damn it, man, it's taking the fucking
make
reality.
Them all badass. Make them all like Charlotte. Like, let them be, make, or like, you know, make them like,
let
make
them
more people
don't
strong.
Don't
make,
develop.
Just one or two people strong at a time. Make like six people strong all at the same time.
That's what I'm saying. So that we can have some fucking, and then, oh man, the thing that bothers me the most is how they make the fucking finishers look so weak lately. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. And I think it was Kevier and Christian that went off on it. And, I mean, like, I've been paying attention to that shit lately since we spoke about it here. I think it was last week's episode. It's fucking terrible.
They literally, no lie, they completely buried the AA at SummerSlam in that fucking bullshit match. They completely buried the AA. Fucking Roman buried that fucking move. You want to talk about weak finishers? That move is completely buried now.
It's been bastardized.
The way they did that match. Fucking AA to the fucking ring twice. AA to the fucking announcer's table. And a super avalanche AA. And you're fucking supposed to make me believe this motherfucker could kick out and all of that? Fuck that. They completely buried that move. They buried it.
Yep.
Damn. Horrible.
Yep.
So, yeah, we go to the main event, right, on Raw. It's RK-Bro as Raw Tag Champions for the first time. Oh boy, this segment sucked. This was not funny at all. Who knew that when they became champions, they're already boring? It's so boring now. Like, they're the tag champs, and then guess who shows up? Well, again, AJ Styles and Omos. And guess what for the main event? Surprise, surprise. Again, AJ versus Matt Riddle.
The same
shit. The same fucking shit. Same fucking people. And Matt Riddle won. Who cares? That was your show after SummerSlam. Raw's a heaping pile of dog shit. And the pay-per-view was not as better either. The pay-per-view was worse. And it goes along with the predictions that we have for SummerScam. Hello?
So let's get...
I thought you had the predictions there.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the predictions?
Yeah, we can go through those. No, I agree. Raw was pretty boring. It wasn't that great. And I was there with you after the show, and it was... not that great of a SummerSlam either. I don't know. I think that AEW just seems cooler. Maybe I think that it didn't take a lot of wind out of WWE because AEW was cooler.
All right. Now, I have the predictions here, ladies and gentlemen. Albert couldn't join us for these predictions, so I think he's disqualified for these, unfortunately, Albert, because you weren't here, unfortunately. You got cut off. Oh. So it's down to Minister of Sinister.
It'll be
all right.
He can still comment on his thoughts and shit. So we'll just roll with it.
All right. So
hell yeah.
I'm gonna cheat on everything. Good.
All right. So up first is the Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley match on the list. I'm not going in order. I'm just going by my order of my predictions, the prediction list. Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg. We all pick Lashley, and we all get a point on that. This match was fucking garbage. This is the first time in a while Goldberg went for a little while. Fucking huge mistake. Goldberg almost killed Bobby Lashley again, just like he almost killed Undertaker, dropping on his fucking head. So, guy's a fucking harmful hazard in the fucking ring. Stop bringing this fucking guy back for fucking matches. Stop it. He's going to kill somebody.
They're not going to do it, unfortunately. But it was terrible, and I was actually surprised that it went on for 7 minutes. You know, I was expecting a 3 or 4 minute match.
Seemed like forever, right?
Goldberg,
didn't it seem like a long time?
It did. It was not a good match. I didn't care for the match at all. Bobby Lashley, though, and to me, he's doing a great job with his character. And his character development into this. I'm glad they got rid of the women. As much as it was, you know, it was fun for that one episode, but then they try to keep it going and that's just not cool. And then we're in times of COVID and shit, and they're sitting up here with many people on the fucking stage and shit. It's just not cool. But fucking MVP continues to do the greatest work of his career, in my opinion. Fucking tripping up fucking Goldberg with that fucking cane. And then, you know, grabbing the mic immediately after the fucking kid, you know, took the fucking lock or whatever the hell to, you know, say he was very clear that he could not have known and shit. And unfortunately, to me, that makes it look like it's going to continue the fucking story.
Yep, and I'll tell you where that's going to happen. Fucking Crown Jewel, fucking Goldberg wins the fucking title from Bobby Lashley.
No.
Ending his fucking title. Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
No.
Crown Jewel, Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
Awful.
God damn it. So, I was very disappointed. But MVP's work, though, to me, he reminds me of a classy Fred Blassie type.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember classy Fred Blassie
King,
or
right?
ever saw him.
It's like I know who he is.
You know what I'm saying? Like every manager needs to have an object, right? You got Bobby Heenan with the – what the fuck did Bobby Heenan have? I don't know what he had. He had a sparkly jacket, right?
Fuji had his salt.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hart had the horn. Jim Cornette with the tennis racket, of course. Paul E. Heyman, when he first started out, had a big cell phone. So it's
a dumb hat. Oh, yeah.
A good manager always comes out with an object, right?
Yeah.
And so he's got the cane. And frankly, I was hoping, I really was, I promise you this. When fucking Goldberg was walking out of the fucking ring and they were doing that whole thing, you know, to get that cheap pop where the guy knocks on his fucking door and shit and he's walking out. When he's walking out there and shit, man, I was hoping that fucking MVP would have pulled the fucking Tonya Harding and fucking whacked him on the way to the fucking ring and they wouldn't have even had the match. That's what I was fucking hoping for, that he would have fucking beat him down on the way to the fucking ring. They would have just had a quick little exchange out there on that long-ass way to the fucking awkward fucking-ass ramp that they had
they
to the ring.
They fucking beat the shit out of that
and
building.
Shit. And that's what I was hoping for, honestly.
Yeah. So up next, we had the Usos versus the Mysterios. We all picked the Usos. Again, who gives a fuck about this match? We've seen it 7 fucking times. Who honestly cares? Who honestly cares? Up next, we had the United States Championship match. Minister of Sinister doesn't get a point. He picked Sheamus. I'm the only one who gets a point because I'm the only one who picked Damian Priest. Kevin also picked Sheamus. Very interesting.
What a poor decision by WWE. I'm watching Damian Priest on Raw this morning or whatever. I was watching it, and I was like, I'm just so confused. And, like, he's back there talking to Drew McIntyre, and he's like, hey, buddy. And it's like, you guys are buddies. Get out of here. Quit talking like you're buddies. Like, who is this Damian Priest guy?
Right.
I don't know.
The first time they ever interacted with each other. So how the fuck are they buddies already?
Right. You want to know who buddies are? Buddies are fucking Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, and fucking Cesaro. Those three motherfucking lions. They've been together for a long time. Those are buddies.
Yeah. So up next, is the Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal match. Again, we all picked Drew McIntyre. We all get a point. Fuck this match. I told you guys for weeks now
terrible.
That this match was going to be shit, and lo and behold, it was shit. This feud was shit.
Terrible.
Fuck this match.
Terrible. Albert, did you watch any of this shit, bro?
Did I watch it, or are you asking Albert?
Yeah, I'm asking Albert. Is he on mute?
No, I didn't. I didn't at all. So that's why I'm kind of like, you know, hanging back a little bit. But yeah, I really didn't. I'm like I said, you know, the last few months I've just been kind of shying away from WWE. And because I didn't treat the stars and I didn't treat the fans, you know?
I'm headed that fucking way, dude. Especially now with all this shit
like
NXT.
I like Lashley. I like Jinder. I like,
of
you
course.
Know, McIntyre and even Cena now, you know what I mean? But it's not, unless I'm starting to hear that it's getting better, you know, then, you know what I mean? I'll watch it. Like, I'll watch clips. Like, I saw, like, the Brock Lesnar return, and that was kind of like, okay, well, you're just staring down with Roman Reigns, like, whatever. Are you heel or are you face? You know what I mean? It's still going on, but, you know, I did not.
It's just Brock, dude.
Yeah, it's just Brock, right? But, yeah, I haven't really kept up with anything WWE in the last few weeks. And it's just...
Feel better for it?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Like a breath of fresh air.
Really yeah, so I don't have to just get so angry. You know what I mean? I don't have to sit there and yell at my TV screen about it, you know? It helps with my blood pressure. I'll give it that. It helps with my blood pressure.
Yeah.
I went to Walmart and checked my blood pressure, and it was, like, significantly lower because I haven't been watching WWE.
Stop it.
So, up next was the worst match of the whole night, the second worst match of the whole night. Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie. We all picked Alexa Bliss. And I told you guys this, too, for weeks, that this match was going to be fucking garbage. And guess what? It was garbage. Fuck this gimmick. Fuck this Alexa Bliss gimmick. It's fucking trash. It's trash. Up next is the controversial.
Yeah, it's weird. And then, like,
is that Minister laughing, or is that a soundbite of Minister laughing?
Yeah, that was weird. It's funny. No, like, whenever she came out, when Charlotte's talking on Raw and then Alexa comes out, she's like, I just wanted to say hello. I'm like, you just wasted everybody's here's time. Like, what the hell are you fuckers doing? Like, she just came out to say hello. That's all that happens. It's just a stare down. And I guess the stare down is like a thing they do a lot. But, man, that sucks. I was thinking when that happened, I was like, they're going to do this story, but this is all they're going to give us this week. They're just going to give us these two chicks saying hello to each other. Instead of giving us some real fucking progression in the story, like, stupid.
Awful.
What are we talking about?
And she's just a joke of what Bray Wyatt used to be. We are all mad about Bray Wyatt, and every time we see Alexa, it's like, fuck her for doing that. Like, still, like, I don't know why she's not begging her way out of it. Maybe she has, and they won't let her stop doing it, which is ironic in itself. She's fucking possessed by this Lily gimmick.
Yeah. So up next
But they were saying that Lily was apparently that the whole Lily gimmick is on the line, according to, you know, as in accordance
Lily's
to their sales,
kind of
merch sales, and
yeah,
according
right.
to their merch sales, that the whole thing was, you know, if they didn't sell enough shit, that they were going to cancel the whole fucking Lily thing.
I like, Lily is not even scary. She's
and I'm
kind
not,
of cute.
I don't know why they would do that just yet.
I
actually like the whole Lily thing. And guys, hear me out. I'm talking about, like, okay, they've been doing some creepy fucking shit with her, right? I'm talking about they need to get really creepy. When they mount her up there on the fucking top rope and shit, they need to start having, like, a camera that's looking through her, you know, to, you know, look up these women, if you know what I'm talking about there. But I digress.
That's not new.
That's not news.
That's called...
That's the kind of creepy they're trying to go for there, Chuck.
No, you know, we don't have to make it that creepy. But, I mean, like, they should do some shit like that where, like, you know, what she is seeing is what's actually coming out to the camera with us, for us, is what I'm saying. And, you know, no, it shouldn't be, you know, up their skirt or anything, but, you know.
Did you take some mushrooms to check?
No, but I did do a change-up, and I am now drinking St. Arnold Juicy IPA.
That explains it.
Hold on. What she's seeing is what we're seeing on TV, but she's seeing it and we're seeing it on TV.
Right. You know, because they haven't done that yet. And, I mean, if they're going to progress the character and shit, why not do that? Make it, you know, like what she's seeing, we're seeing it on TV. And, you know, shit like that. I think that would be great for the whole Lily thing. Because, I mean, you know.
Lily has to straight up
get it now.
Kill somebody. They're going to have to do, like, a murder storyline with Lily in order to keep this gimmick around. Like, that's the only thing that would keep me invested in Lily is if Lily straight up killed Eva Marie or something. And they were like, who killed Eva Marie? And Dewdrop was like, it wasn't me. And, like, you know, and Lily's like, like, if they do a straight up Chucky thing and then they do a movie off of it.
And I would like to do a... They bring back Val Venus and Lily does the choppy choppy on them. That'd be one of the other guys.
Lily needs to hold the 24/7 championship before this shit's all said and done with.
Oh my god!
She could get into a relationship with Mark Henry and give birth to a him. How about that?
Ooh.
Okay, so up next.
Now you're speaking Chuck's language.
Up next is a qualified entry. Next is the disqualified entry for the predictions between Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, because guess what? They knew Sasha Banks wasn't going to come at SummerSlam 8 days, but these careless, stupid motherfuckers still advertised the match was happening, even gave the match a video package of this pay-per-view. Fuck it. That's false advertising, all right? You false advertise this fucking match. And then what happened was, the man, Becky Lynch, came back. I hate her already. I've been hating her. And I hate her even more for what they did. They ruined her return. How could you do that? How could you ruin her return by burying Bianca Belair, squashing her, and then fucking, you know, taking the title and making Bayley the new champion, Becky the new champion. First off, storyline-wise, it doesn't even fucking make sense, right? She didn't vacate the fucking SmackDown title. It was the fucking Raw title. So why the fuck is she challenging for the SmackDown title? Why are you burying?
I tell you what, Vince McMahon pretty much, at this point, might as well choppy Bianca Belair's fucking hair off. Because that's exactly what happens. From reading the dirt sheets there, that's exactly what they did.
I was so pissed off about this shit. Personally, her return did nothing for me because I've never been a fan of Becky Lynch. But I can, you know, respect, you know, people marking out over it and shit because, you know, she had her fan base, which was a very strong fan base. So her coming back is obviously a big impact on, you know, wrestling. In general, and shit. After she had a baby and shit, you know. So yeah, she comes back. Yeah, so she comes back, bro.
I was happy when she came back, but mad when she buried her. So
immediately buries fucking Bianca Belair, completely pissing me off. I'm like, way to kill a fucking character. I mean, this whole time Bianca Belair has been so dominant and so fucking badass, and then for her to just go down like this. I mean, it reminds me of, like, when fucking, you know, CM Punk
Kingston
had that title for all them days, and then it was just so that fucking Rock could come in and fucking beat him or whatever the fuck that was.
This is the same thing with fucking Kofi Kingston and Brock Lesnar. This is the same bullshit. This happened the same way. And you know
and
what? I love the fact that both Rhea Ripley, right, and Bianca Belair both won the titles at WrestleMania, right? Rhea Ripley's title run comes short 3 fucking months, comes short at fucking Money in the Bank, and fucking Bianca's title run comes short at 4 months. I love the fact that from April to fucking August and June, July, their both title reigns came to a fucking end. I love it. What good champions they were. Great. Way to build stars. Anyway, we got up next is RK-Bro versus AJ and Omos. again.
Wait a minute. I wanted to touch on that. I wanted to touch on that a little bit more. The whole thing with fucking. Then I'm reading a report today that they're saying that Becky Lynch is requesting to be heel, okay, which, you know, is going to bring out, we're going to still be cheering her, okay, we know that, right? So it's going to be, okay, no, wait a minute, we don't know that yet. Could she fucking do like Daniel Bryan? Because Daniel Bryan, the fucking Ultimate Yes guy, he had a run there when he came back, and he was a bad guy, and, like, you know, people seem to forget about the whole fucking Yes thing.
Because he had a
fucking together. For him. That's when I started respecting Daniel Bryan.
You can put her and Seth together on the show and make them, like, a heel couple. They're both on SmackDown.
No, they're not going to do Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch again. They're not going to work together again. They said that. But it's going to fail. None of this makes any sense. You're going to turn your top baby face into a heel, top heel. It doesn't make sense. It's going to fail. Nobody's going to fucking boo fucking Becky Lynch. It's all fucking
unless, my friend, if she is fully capable of pulling it off and twisting our feelings around.
No.
I mean, there's some people that can fucking CM Punk can do it.
She tried. She failed. She's going to try again. She's going to fail again. So there's no.
Like I said, her and Charlotte are two top dogs, and, like, I don't know, they still have, like, some of the best female wrestlers, like, on their roster. So I think if they use her, Charlotte, Asuka, Nikki, Sasha, Bayley, even whenever she's okay, like, these are some of the best women wrestlers. It's not their fault.
Yeah, but,
like,
speaking of women wrestlers, real quick, Swami, there are a lot of rumblings about AJ Lee coming back to AEW.
What?
Is that
real? Do I need to believe that?
Yes, if CM Punk's there, I wouldn't be surprised if AJ Lee goes to AEW, and it will be great.
Oh my God,
so,
that would be. I'm all about it.
So we got RK Bro, right, versus AJ and Omos. We all got that right again. What a fucking disappointing match. I know I said in the review show that it was a decent match, like it was a Raw match, but would it kill them to do fucking killer spots on this fucking match? We never even got to see Randy Orton RKO Omos. It's fucking SummerSlam, the equivalent of WrestleMania, and you couldn't book a spot for Randy Orton to RKO Omos, not even once. What the fuck kind of SummerSlam is this? It really was a SummerSlam.
It usually is a big spot like that. You're right.
Bunch of horse
really
shit is what
now.
It is.
I'm sure it came
it really
out. Like, I'm sure they discussed doing it, and then they were like, no, we're not doing it.
Go fuck yourself. It's awful.
Wow.
Oh.
You can't make Omos look strong still, apparently, but whatever.
It was awful. It was a Raw match. Up next was the Raw Women's Championship Triple Threat match. Minister does not get a point. For some reason, he picks Nikki Cross. Me and Kevin are the only ones who get a point because we picked Charlotte. Because, of course, Charlotte Flair was going to win back her fucking title again. And it's the four horsewomen, like always, on top. No other women could be on top. It always has to be either Sasha Banks, Bayley, Becky Lynch or Charlotte Flair. No other women in the division has to be on top. It always has to be those four. No progression. Awful.
Yeah, man.
Sickening.
I mean, you know, and right there is where I fucked up, man. Guys, I mean, that's totally on me. I had already switched beers at the time. And once I switched beers like that, I mean, all bets are off. You know what I mean? I'm picking Nikki Cross. I'm making bad fucking decisions. And right now,
we gotta
pause for this fucking station ID, and we'll be right back after this. So, yeah, let's do this.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show. We'll be right back.
to the Fatal Four Radio Show. We're here in overtime, interrupting the great Swami, no less. We're in the middle of fucking conversation here with the pay-per-view, the summer scam predictions, if you will.
It really was a scam.
I wonder what Dusty Rhodes would have to think about the summer scam edition.
Ooh, Dusty Rhodes, baby. This is a pile of dog shit, baby. I participated in SummerSlam, baby. 88, baby. Like, what is this shit, baby? Horrible. This was a scam, baby.
Hey,
scam people out of the money, baby.
Dusty Rhodes, this book of tea here, man. I'm sorry to interrupt you, dog. You know, but I gotta get on here and I gotta talk about my Shucky Ducky Quack Quack moment of the show tonight whenever Chuck was talking all that mad shit on Booker T. And I heard you too, Christian, from Philly. I'm going to come down there, the five-time champion, and do a spin Rooney on your ass.
Booker T, baby. Booker T, baby. You were a terrible WCW world champion, baby. You didn't draw a fucking dime, baby.
That really stings coming from you, Dusty Rhodes, you know. Too bad your son's the second worst champion in the history of pro wrestling. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, well, at least that created war. Let me tell you something, baby. At least that created war games, bitch.
I'm wondering what Stone Cold Steve Austin
has to say about this shit.
Fucking scams ass. I couldn't get a beer in the fucking stadium. What? I couldn't get a Budweiser. What? Fucking beer. What? I couldn't get food. What? This shit sucks. What?
But you don't take care of
my
what? What do you mean, my MasterCard ain't working? What? I just checked it earlier in the car.
You couldn't take my fucking WWE debit card. What? Couldn't take my fucking WWE debit card. What? What?
Oh my god.
What?
It's Netspin.
Yeah, shit.
It's a Netspin card.
So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so up next in the predictions, right, we got the match of the night, the only saving grace on this scam, the only great match in this whole show, which was Edge versus Seth Rollins. Minister does not get a point. He picks Seth. And me and Kevin picks Edge, so we get a point.
Well, you know, I thought that the fucking Joker was gonna fucking take out the fucking devil, the demon Edge, who, by the way, I mean, kudos to Edge fucking brooding and shit. I like how he brought out his inner evil by bringing out fucking music from the fucking Brood and shit. And then
it was cool.
Yeah, it was a cool little entrance. He came out to the Brood entrance and then he switched up to the fucking Edge entrance, you know, midway, because it was a long ramp. It was a long ass fucking ramp to the fucking stage. So he came out as the Brood, and then he fucking busted out the whole fucking Edge theme and shit. And man, I really thought
this was the best match.
I do too. This was definitely the best match. It was something that.
What was the point of him bringing back the Brood thing?
Because he was looking for his inner evil, if you will.
Yeah, even though he wasn't that evil in the Brood, he was just some follower.
Yeah, he
was
just a guy
evil.
With sunglasses. So.
Yeah.
But he was bringing back his inner, I guess the flames and the whole flame and all that shit thing is what made him, you know, quote unquote evil when he was with the Brood. But that's what it was. They came back with the whole, it was a flaming entry and shit behind him. The graphics were a bunch of flames and shit. Came out to the Brood for about 15 seconds. And then after that, he stopped midway down the awkward ramp. And he paused for a minute. And then he did his fucking Edge pose with his, you know, latest theme music that he's been using. That one right there. But the match, though,
it was great.
It was fucking badass, dude. And the way he finished it, you know, I was saying to myself, man, fuck, this is fucking great. Now, they did fucking bastardize their finishing moves, of course, because that seems to be the trend nowadays in WWE. They just, everybody's bastardizing everybody's fucking finishing moves.
Well,
yeah,
not really.
It wasn't as obvious.
Edge just hit one spear and that's it. So Edge's spear is still, you know, they bastardized the main event thing. They bastardized
and
the
so,
game.
And so then the finisher, I was fucking saying, man, Seth Rollins needs to fucking find his fucking inner evil if he's going to beat this motherfucker. Edge was out there looking like a battered fucking lion. And by the way, for the past 5 weeks or so, I've been watching lion videos on fucking YouTube. And I fucking love them. I mean, you're talking about the fucking king. I don't know why they call him King of the Jungle, because I always see them in the fucking desert hunting buffaloes and zebras and even giraffes. And these motherfuckers are brutal, man. They'll fucking take you down, and the next thing you know, 2 or 3 days later, they show the carcass, and it's just a few bones left. You talk about meat and bones. The meat is fucking gone.
What
the fuck they get. The lion. So Edge looks like a battered lion in this fucking wrestling match, guys. Like a battered fucking lion. And I was thinking the whole time.
It was the battle between Mufasa and Scar from The Lion King. Edge is Mufasa.
I've never seen that movie, but the whole time I was thinking, fuck, Seth Rollins is going to need to find his fucking inner fucking evil if he's going to beat this motherfucker. Because let me tell you something. Edge, during the 2000s, was one of my favorites. He was so fucking evil and mean and bad and shit, like 2004 to 2000, you know, and until he ended up having to retire or whatever. He was like such a badass. So I was like, fuck, man, Seth Rollins is going to have to fight his fucking inner evil. At that time, they get into this fucking deal where Edge is locking him up with, what are the moves, Edge? Swami, his moves called?
Which one?
With like a crossface type move or whatever the fuck it was.
That was just a regular fucking original. That was just a new
okay,
shit.
So he had him in all the fucking moves and shit, but then he fucking grabbed him by the back of the fucking hair and he started just beating his fucking head into the mat. Did it about fucking 12 or 15 times and, you know, that was it. That was Edge's inner evil. Fucking, you know, telling Mr. Monday Night, Seth Rollins, now back up. I'm still here. And fuck, the whole thing left me confused because, you know, here I thought Seth Rollins was supposed to go over.
No. Fuck Rollins. Fuck him. So we go to the main event, right? Me and Minister get a point. For some reason, Kevin chose Cena, so he doesn't get a point. This match.
I was wild card.
Fuck this match. Fuck this feud and fuck this match. This match was fucking boring. Fucking Cena. All Cena did was his finishing move and a fucking roll up. Because that's all he did in his matches. Roll up after roll up after roll up. Fuck this match. Fuck this match. Horrible.
No, I was already, like, tapped out of the show by the time this rolled around, too, and I was like, I know how this is going. So, I wasn't
still had
too
my
surprised
hopes.
At the end of it.
Yeah, I still had my hopes, man. I mean, you know, I was hoping that Cena would fucking, you know, dethrone fucking Reigns, and that maybe this whole CM Punk thing was going to give them such a fucking kick in the ass that they're going to fucking, you know, move on from this Roman Reigns experiment, as Christian has been saying, for the past fucking 2 or 3 years. And, you know, I mean, because fuck, man, don't get me wrong, there's things about it that I like and shit.
All this for the Rock.
But, man, yeah, that's what it's for. It's also that the Rock can come in, he's going to beat Roman Reigns, switch up the title again. And I don't
pointless.
Know.
Could be.
Pointless.
You think Roman's going to hold the belt the whole time? The rumor I saw.
I do.
And it was
he
just a rumor, but it it said that it wasn't for WrestleMania this year, that it's for actually like WrestleMania 23, like 2023 is whenever they want to do Roman versus The Rock.
You want to know why?
And if
you
that happens, bro, fuck.
You want to know why? Because the whole plan for Brock Lesnar was that he was supposed to face Lesnar at WrestleMania, but they decided to bring him back earlier than that. So we would have gotten Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns again at WrestleMania for the fucking title. So he beats Lesnar to keep the title again so he can meet The Rock next year in 2023 with the fucking belt. I'm not sticking around for 2023. If this motherfucker still holds his belt in 2023 for the fucking Rock,
that'd be crazy. That'd be crazy if he holds it for that long.
I don't think I'm going to stick around. I don't think I'm going to stick around. I mean, not even when I heard this. We all heard it.
I just don't care. I don't care about this feud.
I would rather have heard that during Bobby Lashley.
It's the match everybody wanted.
Yeah.
But they decided to do fucking Roman and Lesnar again. Why? Because they're going to do a storyline where Paul Heyman has to choose who he has to manage? We've seen this shit already with Brock versus Big Show. It's the same shit.
We have a custody of Paul Heyman ladder match. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman on a pole?
Paul Heyman in a cage. The world wants to see Lashley versus Lesnar. And who knows, who still might get that at WrestleMania. We'll see, but.
Fuck, bro.
Not as last.
It was a disappointment. And then, now, I'm hearing this report from the Swami that Goldberg has fucking been tapped to fucking dethrone fucking the reign of Lashley. Oh, my God. And clearly he'll be a transition champion. He'll have it for one month tops, and then they'll go on
hopefully
to the next
Big
program and give it to whoever the fuck.
Hopefully Big E cashes in on Goldberg to save the show by then.
Oh, God, no.
That's the only situation to fix this. That's the only way they could fix this. Goldberg beats Lashley, then Big E cashes in and beats Goldberg for the title. That's the only way they could save that. That's the only way.
In Saudi Arabia, if that happens in Saudi Arabia, I don't want to, you know, say this without sounding, you know, culturalist or whatever, but literally, fucking Big E will be beheaded on the streets, you know?
That's the only way they can say
I mean, I don't support them going back to Saudi Arabia, dude. After them getting stuck there last time and just everything that's really happening in the last few years, like, let's not put, like, a whole, like, cast of people, this whole roadshow in harm's way. I don't know what the deal is with that. And then, like, people had to make the decision last time to not go, and they lost pushes because of it. Like, it's mandatory to go to Saudi. It sucks. If my job said you have to go to Saudi, bro, I'd probably just quit.
Yeah.
Like, I just, like, some people, it's probably outside of their comfort zone. Like, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
You're going to see
seen the movie Tropic Thunder? It reminds me of when they kidnapped Ben Stiller's character and made him reenact that movie Simple Jack for all the soldiers.
Right.
That's what it reminds me of. That's what this feels like. It's always felt like that.
That's all it is a flex for this prince, this dynasty of, like, people
it
that are keeping wealth from their freaking followers, dude.
It reminds me of these fucking companies making people get vaccinated to keep their job. It's the same type of shit, you know? The company is making you go to fucking Saudi. Because, you know, you work for them. The company is making you fucking, you know, it's the same type of shit. It's authoritarianism.
They're also making them get vaccinated, too.
Yeah.
It's authoritarianism.
Yeah. So, right now is the extra credit questions that we had for the pay-per-view. These are the interesting ones. Someone could make a comeback, or this could be a dead end. Are you ready? So, the first extra credit question was this. The first one was there going to be a cash-in? Minister of Sinister, you don't get a point because you said yes, but a failed, so you don't get a point. I'm gonna say I was the only one who said no because Kevin said yes too, so I'm the only one who gets a point on the extra credit.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So the next extra credit one is what extra matches were gonna be added to the pre-show. We all don't get the point. We all don't get it. So let's get that one.
Dang.
And this one.
And what was it? It was like Corbin versus Big E is what we got.
Yeah, we never said anything. Yeah, we never said that match. So we all don't get a point on that. Now this is an extra one. What's going to be the turns on this match and how many? Minister the Sinister, you said one. You get half a point for that. You get half a point for that.
Oh.
Because there was a turn. Get half a point for that. Actually, you get a point. All right, I'm just gonna give you.
What turn are we talking about?
Well, I'll get to that when we get to that. That's the interesting part.
There you go.
I said two turns. I get a point.
Oh.
And Kevin says no turns. He doesn't get a point. Wow. Now here's the interesting point. All right, here's the interesting thing. Right. The reason why I'm giving me and Minister a point and not Kevin, because there actually was turns on the show. One of the turns was Becky Lynch because she officially turned heel on the show. So that's
the second, Bianca. Yeah.
Yep, and the second turn was Brock Lesnar because he turned babyface when he came back.
Ah. Brock Lesnar,
so
baby face. The whole thought
so
makes
that's,
me sick.
So that's, so technically, that's two turns. So I get the point.
Doing?
That's the, two turns.
The
so
crowd.
That, I get the point. And Minister gets the point. And Minister gets the point because he said one turn, and he was right, so he gets the point. And let's tally up the scores, gentlemen. All right?
All right.
Everyone tally up the scores? This is historic, gentlemen. This is a very historic prediction. Very historic. Coming in dead last is Minister of Sinister with 7 points. 7 points. Dead last.
Keep in mind, I was first last time.
Yes. Kevin, you come in second place with 8 points.
Yeah.
This is very historic, ladies and gentlemen. And this shows how terrible this pay-per-view is. I guess hold the applause, hold the gasp.
Uh-huh.
I guessed every fucking single match on this fucking pay-per-view, including the fucking extra credits. 11 points. I guess every single fucking match on this god-awful pay-per-view.
This is fucking history. This is fucking historical. This deserves a round of applause. But also, it's sad. like you said, it's fucking sad. Because it's so fucking predictable.
It's pathetic. I guessed every single fucking match, how it ended, and who was going to win. How pathetic is that? Kevin.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good for you, dude. I think they're just making the show how they think that you would like it.
Smart motherfucker.
Let's see what. Let's try to book it. We've been listening to this thing four-way show, boss.
Hey, Vinny, we've been listening to this here podcast on the cellular phone, and it's these guys are talking about this guy Christian. He's real smart, see?
That's what WWE writers' room sounds like. They call him Vinny.
Awful. So get some respect.
Booker T's in there. Them
guys on Fatal 4-Way, they all smart except for Christian. Fuck him. Talking all that shit. Can't bring it to the block.
That's all you had to say.
What about you, Albert? What about you, Noel? How about the historical first, Albert? The fact that I predicted every single thing on this pay-per-view, Albert.
That's awesome. Oh, good. The chances are low for that. Maybe they're not anymore. Maybe you can book everything like that now.
I think WWE has a chip in your brain, Christian.
Yeah.
I'm giving up.
What was that, Albert? I couldn't hear. What was that, Albert? I didn't hear you.
So I think the WWE has a chip in your brain. I think they're watching you, bud.
I think so too, because it's pathetic. I guess every single fucking match.
Wrong sound effect. Wrong sound effect. It was supposed to be the baby laughing.
Yeah, so I won by 11 points.
Wow. So, yeah, Christian from Philly, the winner. Of the Puckle Prediction, the Summer Scam 2021. I'm still upset with WWE right now that, like, I mean, shit, I'm slowly and surely, and I mean, it's inevitable, turning more and more to AEW.
So before I go, I want to hear, what's your rating for Summer Scam, Mr. Sinister, because we gave our rating in the review, so what's your rating for this pay-per-view?
I got to give this, I'm going to go Bret Hart on this, and I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10.
What a horrible show.
It was not a good show. It was not, it didn't do anything for me. It was highly predictable. I think that, you know, like I said, you know, part of the big reason that I picked some of the people that I picked was probably because I was a few beers in, you know, and I was a little bit blurred. But nevertheless, you know, we go onward and we already just seem to know what's going to happen. This is the demise, to me, of WWE. And it's actually been happening for a while with their most recent releases. And shit, it shows to me that they're on a totally different path. They're making all kinds of fucking money, at least they're claiming they are. And they're releasing some of the top talent and shit. And they're going a different way. They're changing their model. They're going to fucking promote within and just bring a whole new batch of new people that are not in, that have never slept in their car. Okay? They're bringing in people that have never fucking had to sleep in their fucking car and shit like that. And they've never had to fucking, you know, wonder how they were going to get to their next gig if they had enough gas money and shit. And shit like that. You know, they're just going to pick a few faces. They're just going to pick faces now from these fucking, they're going to have these contests and shit. And, you know, I don't agree with that. I think that wrestling should be more organic. That's how it was from the fucking beginning. You didn't have this fucking shit. You didn't have these fucking contests at a goddamn circus to see who was going to go on and beat fucking, you know, somebody in the fucking ring. It's fucking unheard of. But this is their way of making money. And obviously they're confident. You know, they're letting all this top talent go and shit, and they're confident that they can fucking proceed. There's word going around that Johnny Gargano is going to stick around NXT, and he's going to provide them with a heel.
What?
You know, and they already have a self-made heel with him. So I can see utilizing him and paying him a little bit more money. You know, and that's where they're going to save money, too, because, you know, these new guys that are going to come in and they're going to fucking be beating Gargano and being the fucking stars of the show and shit like that, or at least, you know, they're going to present them to us as the star of the show and shit. These guys are going to be getting paid fucking peanuts compared to Gargano, compared to fucking Samoa Joe and, you know, and those guys. So that's where WWE is running a totally different business model.
You know what, Minister? That was a good little speech there, man. It reminded me of, you know, when Jerry used to do the final word with Jerry. That's what that reminded me of, man. That was very eloquent. Beautiful. Thank you very much.
What did Jerry always say at the end? Love each other, but most importantly, love yourself, or something like that. What did he say? He's like,
and each other. And
love
other.
Yourself and each other. Like,
yeah,
fuck
yeah,
off.
And you know, with that, I'm gonna be Christian to it. Fuck it. And I'm gonna say, peace out, motherfuckers. It's been real. It's been big. It hasn't been real big and fucking and all that other shit that I say. What do I say, Christian?
Well, I don't do that.
Yeah. Now I'm going to close myself out. How about that?
Yeah.
And let you guys fucking close it out. But yeah,
all right.
Fucking Raw and SmackDown and fucking and it's all turning to shit for me. But there's light at the end of the tunnel because AEW has a lot of promise for me. And now the fact that fucking Bryan Danielson is going to be over there, he totally won my respect in WWE. So I expect to see great things from him over there working alongside or with this new talent as well. Not so much as working with fucking CM Punk and them, but working with some of the fucking new talent. And they're making wrestling exciting, and I'm all about it. So peace out, motherfuckers.
All right. Yes, that was Minister of Sinister. My name is Christian from Philly. I'll see you next Tuesday on Fatal 4-Way Radio. We're gonna shit on fucking WWE. Fucking WWE is fucking garbage. Peace out, motherfuckers.
Guys, thank you again. Another good week of bad wrestling impressions, and another week without a Kanye West album. But I keep my head held high, and, you know, at least CM Punk came back. At least he had ice cream bars there, and that was cool, too. Other than that, you know, we'll see what else happens on AEW, WWE. You know, I'll probably just watch on YouTube, but I'm gonna keep watching the full shows of AEW. I did watch GCW also. Check that out on wherever, on their streaming service. I think you just have to buy it off of Fight TV. But it's awesome, and Ninja Mac had a pretty cool match. Juventud Guerrero was in that match, and just check those boys out and check out local wrestling. Reggie coming up in September, and we'll be back.
Here we go. You know, we may not get along with a lot of things, and we may argue and have different opinions of different things, but the most important thing is that we love wrestling. And we also, you know, hate wrestling at the same time. But so everybody just be nice to each other, but most of all, be nice to yourself. This is Albert and Spencer with the final word on Channel 4-Way Radio. And thank you guys for listening in across the country, coast to coast. We'll see you next time. Hey, how was that?
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.